It's Celtics coverage on clnsradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Hayward lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Well, well, well. That was ugly. That was ugly for both teams. But, of course, it was ugly in a good way for one team tonight. And, of course, that was the Toronto Raptors who, they smoked the Celtics tonight. Big time. You know, going into this game, I figured we'd see a win from the Toronto Raptors. You know, the way that they're, you know, what, 8-2 the last 10 games. Feeling themselves, heading back home, having that mindset to not only make a statement, but to also avenge the loss from earlier in the season, which they only lost by 1 point, by the way, at TD Garden against the Celtics. And they certainly did that tonight. They not only avenged that loss, but they also reminded the Celtics, hey, don't forget, guys, we're the Toronto Raptors. We've been doing this for quite some time. And, you know, just how you guys smell blood with the mess that's going on in Cleveland. Yeah, we smell it too. And right now we're looking to attack and not only finally make that deep playoff run that we've been trying to make the last 2 to 3 years, but ever since LeBron James came back to the Eastern Conference, he's been in our way, and now Boston Celtics are now apparently in our way. But at the same time, don't forget that we have not only experience, but we also have the players, the two guys in the backcourt that can not only take over the games, but have a supporting cast that they haven't always had, okay, on the bench, guys who are stepping up, playing good defense, coming up with stops, and also getting it done on the offensive side of things. It was 111-91 tonight. The Toronto Raptors topped the Boston Celtics. They're now one game behind of the Boston Celtics. And, you know, Brad Stevens after the game said, look, this is a good Toronto Raptors team. He also said before the game, look, you guys might be sleeping on them. Other guys around the league may forget that the Toronto Raptors are always going to give you a good fight, but I never forget. And you know what? You better believe that Brad Stevens, there's no chance he would forget, because he's lost 9 out of 10 at Toronto. 9 out of 10 the Boston Celtics have lost when they go up to Canada to face the Toronto Raptors. So tonight, of course, Brad Stevens knew what he had in store, and the Toronto Raptors just gave it to the Celtics from start to finish. This is the Boston Celtics post-game show. I am your host, Josue Pavone. I got Bobby Manning alongside. He was joining me in just a little bit. Bobby, well, you know what? Let's just go through the stats here before I bring in Bobby and get his initial reactions to this one. 111-91, of course. You got Kyle Lowry with 23 points. DeMar DeRozan, 15. Sort of took him a while to get things going. But then you look at the bench. Deion Wright. Now, Deion Wright is his backup guard for the Toronto Raptors. That is, he's prone to do these type of things. He's done this throughout the course of the NBA season. And tonight was just one of those nights. He had 14 points, excuse me. He had 14 points, but then his other guy, another player who's not only been on this team, you know, before this year, this group certainly knows each other. I mean, they've known each other for quite some time. They have added pieces. They have young talent that give them the kind of strength that you would want out of your second unit. But CJ Miles is a guy who's been doing this for quite some time. You know, he's been with the Raptors not too long, but he's certainly a guy who can – we saw him do it with the Indiana Pacers. He's been doing it this year for the Toronto Raptors, coming off the bench and giving you instant offense. Tonight, 20 points, and he did it in 15 minutes. I mean, 5 of 7 from deep. 17 three-pointers the Toronto Raptors sunk tonight. 17, 6 from Kyle Lowry, 5 from C.J. Miles. And that was the offense that certainly propelled the Toronto Raptors into a humongous quarter. You know, it seems like whenever the Celtics come up with these losses, there's always that one quarter where they really get their asses handed to them. And tonight it was the second quarter. 36-19, the Raptors outscored the Celtics. The second most points allowed in one quarter from the Celtics this season. And even though it was only the second quarter, the Celtics couldn't shake the momentum that the Toronto had throughout this game in that third quarter in the second half. And that's exactly what we saw tonight. They topped the Celtics 111-91. A lot of guys coming up, you know, scoring-wise, off the bench, there were a bunch of contributors for the Celtics, but they could never just put together that type of run to sort of cut down this humongous deficit that they were facing. I mean, the league got up to 29 at one point, but it seemed to seesaw between 14 and 17, and then it would get up to 20, and then they pull it back to 14. But tonight, they just couldn't make that run to make the comeback that we've seen them make throughout the season time and time again. Tonight just wasn't that night. And that's just how things happen, of course, in basketball. When you're a team that has made a lot of comebacks, you're not always going to come up with a huge one. And that was the case tonight. I bring in my co-host, Bobby Manning. Bobby, are you in the same camp as me in terms of going into this game, sort of expecting this to be a really tough one, but not expecting the Toronto Raptors to sort of knock out the Celtics the way they did tonight.
I'm really disappointed. This one was supposed to be one of the better games of the season, I thought. And coming in, I was pumped up. We, of course, got the Paul Pierce game coming Sunday. The Cavaliers are coming into town. But as this season has gone on, I've been telling people, look out for the Raptors this year. This is a team that has drawn a big perception around this league as being playoff chokers, not the real deal. Sort of like a Clippers of the East, that they're going to have these phenomenal regular seasons. They got great players, as the Clippers did during those Chris Paul days. But once the playoffs came, you knew those two guards, Kyle Lowry, was going to be worn down. DeMar DeRozan wasn't going to translate to the postseason with his isolation style. And coming into tonight, I was like, you know, hold on. Don't hold on to that perception for too long, because this team has really changed up its style. If you listen to Dwayne Casey doing a round of interviews around the league this year, he talked about how he had to look his style in the mirror, go toward a more modern motion offense. These players, whether it's Jonas Valanciunas, DeMar DeRozan, really put a ton of effort in adjusting their games to move beyond the arc, play with more motion off the ball. And then you're pretty much seeing a team that was running straight isolation standard sets a year ago run these high sets through Serge Ibaka, Valanciunas. You have everybody shooting threes, spreading the floor. This team has undergone a transformation over the night, and they are a team to be fearful of this year. Let me tell you, it showed tonight. And I see people on Twitter, I see people in our email chains and everything else saying, oh, just throw this one in the trash and move on to the next one. I wouldn't do that so fast. You might be looking at a finals contender in Toronto this year. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they'll sink once the playoffs come again. That might just be who they are. But they run a tight rotation where they're throwing motion offense at you once the starters come in. Their bench is aggressive and dynamic, as we saw tonight. That wasn't just a one-night fluke. That group of Poto, Van Fleet, Wright, as you said in the opener, they've been throwing stuff at opposing teams all year, switching up looks, going back into that isolation flow. And between the starting lineup and the bench, the two different looks that they give opponents, Brad Stevens said it to Scal right before the game, they can really keep you off balance as a team. And the Celtics, it felt like they didn't even see the game getting away from them, to the point where in the fourth quarter, once it came and they were down 20 or so, they really just weren't even prepared to mount the comebacks that we've seen them make this year. They pretty much were waving the white flag. They were so off balance going into the fourth quarter. So I'm a little disappointed in the effort tonight that they weren't able to pull off any significant comebacks. But I was expecting this from Toronto. They did not catch me off guard today.
347-215-7771 is how you join us. That's 347-215-7771. And we already have one caller who's been waiting patiently pretty much since we had a little, what was it, pre-game or pre-show chat. It seemed like Vincent was ready to go the moment this game was done. So we'll let him start things off on the call line. But before we get to that, I got to let you know about SeatGeek. This portion of the Celtics postgame show is brought to you by SeatGeek. And if you haven't already, make sure you head to SeatGeek.com and sign up. You can use the promo code GardenReport for $20 off of your first purchase. And SeatGeek is your go-to spot for tickets, for Celtics tickets, any sporting events, concert tickets. They give you the amazing, best deals, the most bang for your buck. And you have to do it if you haven't already. Sign up with SeatGeek and use the promo code GardenReport, and you can get $20 off a pair of tickets for any event around town. Again, that is SeatGeek. Use the promo code GardenReport and save yourself $20. Now, we got Vincent and Saugus. We've been waiting on the line. Got a lot to say about this game, including what it will mean for the Celtics in terms of the Toronto Raptors challenging them in the Eastern Conference. What's going on, Vincent? Welcome to the program.
Hey, man. What's up? How's it going?
Hey, Vinny.
Hey, how's it going, Bobby?
Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, good to hear from you, too. It's not a good thing when the best part of tonight's game was Scal trying to rally the troops back home by saying, you know, hey, it's getting worse in Cleveland, you know.
Oh, it's getting
worse really
there.
If he wanted to drive the point home, he should have said Josh McDaniels spurred the Colts and brought up the Deflategate and said the Colts had it coming. That's what he should have done, too. That would have helped. That would have been great. Just crank it out. Help us out. We're all demoralized here. But
yeah, I mean, like I said at the top, man, like, a lot of these teams in the Eastern Conference, they smell blood. You know, they're going all in, especially a team like the Toronto Raptors that just constantly they've been stopped year after year. You also have look at what the Detroit Pistons just did. I mean, they're going all in by trading for Blake Griffin because they think they can, you know, eventually make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now that the Cleveland Cavaliers are looking very shaky, even though it's only the first week of February, I'm still giving them some credit here. We'll see what happens after the All-Star break, but. Things are certainly this is the worst we've seen things in Cleveland in quite some time.
If the Cavaliers make a major move at this trade deadline, I'll be stunned. I don't know how you can have all that stuff going on there, LeBron anticipating free agency, and not do something, make some sort of last-ditch effort to keep him. I don't know what it would be. Maybe you move Kevin Love. Maybe you trade that Brooklyn pick, but... If they're going to bring back that same crew after the trade deadline, you have to feel better than ever about the Celtics, the Raptors, one of these teams knocking them off. That's why it's so worrisome for me that the Raptors came out and made a statement tonight. I really do think they made a statement over the Celtics in this game because if it's not the Cavs and the Cavs end up falling early in the playoffs, I think a lot of people around Celtics Nation will be devastated if the Raptors are able to knock off the Celtics in that year of opportunity.
Well, I think it's going to be very important to keep a close eye on moving forward is the season series. I mean, you look at this team, you see what home court advantage means to them. I mean, 9 out of 10, you know, that's a big reason for the Toronto Raptors to motivate them to say, hey, we can grab that top spot in the East. If we can knock off the Celtics, if we can get the home court advantage, put us in a 7-game series, and we should be able to win that series. So that's
and they're only one game back of Boston now.
Right, they're only one game back of Boston, and we know what home court meant to the Celtics last season. I mean, home court meant a lot. I don't think they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals if they didn't have that Game 7 against the Washington Wizards at Boston. You know, I think it's important to this team. It means a lot. We've seen how this team rallied behind, you know, the crowd, and it makes a difference at the end of the day.
Yeah, hello? I'm still here?
Yeah, what's up?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't trade that Brooklyn pick if I'm Cleveland. LeBron's leaving me next year. I lost $25 million if I'm Dan Gilbert. I'm not trusting LeBron. Yeah, and I don't think the Cavs have anything to trade with other than Kevin Love, but he has a bad hand. And as for the Raptors, I don't know about how they're going to go all in because they went all in last year. They're a really good team, but – they spurned me. Last year in the playoffs, I went all in with them. I thought they were going to be really good, and Lowry and DeRozan, you know, fell off a cliff, so it's hard for me to trust them.
It's
they
different
don't have that
this year, Vinny. It really is. You look at the way that team played tonight. They're confident. They're rejuvenated. The coach really overhauled the system out there. I'm going all in on this Raptors team, and that's why tonight concerns me a little bit. If this series turns into a home court series for Toronto, the Celtics got to be worried because Toronto can spread them out, force them into their small lineups that I don't think are as good. We know Greg Monroe's in the toe right now, but Toronto spreading you out like that, he might not be able to stay on the court either. And I don't trust the small ball Celtics lineup this year. Marcus Morris was a mess tonight. I know he's banged up, but he's going to give you more defense than he's been giving them this season. It's tough right now. I wonder if the Celtics are going to make a move at the deadline, because I agree with you, Vinny. Toronto can't, and Cleveland really has their hands tied right now.
Yeah, and with the Celtics, they don't have – I don't think they want to give up their own pick for Tyreek. I think they're trying to use this little Marco Bellinelli rumor from Jared Weiss that to try to get other teams to jump and give them a pick so that they can give that pick to Memphis for Tyreek. And I don't think that's going to happen. And that's our only trade chip is Marcus, but his value ain't that great. You know what I mean? So I don't think we can do anything either. What magic do we have in the bag? We don't have anything.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Vincent, it's not like we're looking at this team like, oh, this roster is just not enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, we do know this team can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? You know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And I think this 100%. Team is in the camp of thinking that they can go all the way to the finals. I don't think anyone on this team denies that, especially Brad Stevens, you know?
Interesting. We're hearing a lot of noise around the Celtics right now when it comes to trades. There's, of course, that Nuggets rumor with Marcus Smart. they are putting that little fish line out there and seeing if anyone will bite for that first rounder. And there's two camps of thinking out there. Maybe you're pushing Smart a little bit after his incident out in L.A., you know, saying, we don't need you after all. We're going to put you out there in trade talks. But it's also a way of the Celtics gauging his value this summer. If no one's going to put a first rounder up for Smart, maybe no one's going to put up a $20 million offer sheet or upwards of $20 million. And then the Celtics feel better about keeping him at a good value this summer.
Yeah, well, nobody wanted to give him a first. Sorry. Sorry, did I interrupt? My bad. Hello? Hello?
Oh, yeah. So, I was just saying, I don't see Smart moving before the trade deadline. I know there's a lot of talk around it, but I think there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Joe Sway, what do you make of the Smart rumors?
I think at the end of the day, if I had to predict it, I think the Celtics hold on to him because, again, I just think his value is not quite where it needs to be to swing the kind of deal that Danny Ainge is trying to pull off. I think that, of course, that's not the worst thing in the world. Obviously, I think Marcus Smart means a lot to this team, especially the second unit, what he's able to do at the end of games defensively. I mean, you like to see a guy like that in the postseason. However, come the offseason, it's going to be interesting to see what type of money he demands. What are other teams willing to put on the table for a guy like Marcus Smart? This might sound weird. This might come off as a little bit as, you know, a little far-fetched, but it's almost a blessing in disguise. You know, what happened with the hand incident, you know, maybe that scares off teams to give him more money than the Celtics are willing to give him. Maybe that turns out helping the Celtics out, and maybe they can find a deal to keep him around, you know, for the next 2 to 3 seasons, and maybe he can be a vital piece of that second unit moving forward with of course, what's going to be a very special era when Gordon Hayward comes back, and heck, this era's already started, you know, and I think Marcus Smart can somehow – if you can see the Celtics sign him to a reasonable deal to keep him around, I'm not against that. You know, however, if Danny Ainge sees a deal that he likes, sees a first round pick thrown in there, which I really don't see a team willing to part with a first round pick for Marcus Smart, but if he can somehow swing the deal, he's going to pull that trigger. And I'm not going to blame him if he's able to swing a first round pick along with a guy who can contribute, you know, into the postseason and help out.
Yeah, like Marcus Smart, his value, he means the world to us on certain nights, but to the rest of the league, he's a gigantic offensive liability who can't do anything other than play defense. They tried to trade him for a first in years past.
Okay, but I got to cut you off there, Vincent, real quick, though. Do they really need him to do that, though? Do they need him to be a scorer?
Yes, very much so, sir. Yeah.
Really? I mean, Terry Rozier can score. Jaylen Brown can score. Jason Tatum can score. Marcus Morris can score. There's a lot of guys that can put the ball through the hoop.
Everybody needs to be a suitor in this league. We need him to be a suitor as much as this country needs Bernie Sanders to be the president of the United States. Do you understand me, sir? You can't be Rondo anymore.
I get it, man. But if you can put 10, 11 points on the board tonight, which, of course, we don't always see out of Marcus Smart, it's not the worst thing in the world. His shooting percentages are atrocious. I give you that. The percentages is not going to help you much on the offensive end. But I don't know, man. Something about Smart in big games, especially in the playoffs, especially in those big moments in the fourth quarter, he delivers more than he doesn't deliver. Let's put it that way, right?
Here's my thing. Everyone's wondering what the addition's going to be at the trade deadline. Greg Monroe's in tow right now. They're going to see him after Thursday. I don't think they're going to end up adding anyone. I think the real addition is going to be Smart, and everyone's low on him right now because of the whole incident, and deservingly so. That was a terrible thing, and it really did hurt the team over the last 4 or 5 games. You know, they were able to pull out wins, but I think they're better with Smart than without him. Of course, he's going to put up a lot of shots that make your head spin, but at the end of the day, he's in the midst of one of his best defensive seasons ever, and it solidifies what it already is, a defensive rebounding team. That's how they've won their games this year. Tonight it was missing. It's the best team the Celtics have versed over the span. I think he would have helped them out tonight quite a bit, especially with the intensity factor. You know, Vinny, we were both saying in the fourth quarter, they entered with the Yabusele Nate up. It seemed like they were just waving that white flag. I don't know if that happens with Smart. I saw Andrew Doxy, our guy at Celtics Blog, tweet that over there, and I tend to agree with him. Just having Smart out there is a big intensity factor. He's definitely still one of the two most important defensive players on this team, an anchor from that guard position.
Yes.
I don't know if anything you add is going to be better than what he brings you on the defensive end.
That's the thing, too.
No. Yeah, we need him. But we need him.
But we know Danny loves
picks. Nobody else needs him.
Especially first-rounders. So we'll
need
see.
Him. Nobody else wants him. That's the conundrum. We need him. Nobody else wants him. So he's going to come here. He's going to – Lord knows what painting that man punched. I think it's a Vincent van Gogh painting. But he – But whatever he did, he's fine. We need that intensity. He'll break his back for us, and that's something that should not go unwarranted. But I look at him, and I don't see a starter quality player. I see a backup, and I think Bobby Marks said he'll get $8 to $10 million a year. And if we get him for 3 for $27 million, I'm okay with that. You guys okay with? $8 to $10 million a year for Marcus?
Absolutely.
Ultimately, whatever contract best suits him for a trade this summer. I don't think they're going to get a trade for him at the deadline, but this summer, I do think you have to make a decision between him and Terry Rozier, and I'm leaning towards Rozier right now.
Yeah, think about Rozier, though, down the road, I think he's going to command a lot more money, as long as we don't see Marcus Smart getting the ETE, you know, I call that the Evan Turner exception. You know, if he's getting, we're talking 17, 16, 17 million, see you
that
later.
That was a different era.
But Terry Rozier, that's true. Yeah, that was the summer everyone was getting paid. That's true. That's when Timothy Mozgov became a rich man. However, when you look at someone like Rozier, though, there's a lot of teams out there, well, maybe not right now, but in a year or so, I think that you can probably name about 3 or 4 teams that are willing to pay up for a starting point guard of his caliber, which would probably get them, I don't know, if we had to put a number on it, $14 million a year, $13 million? I mean, would you want to see the Celtics do something like that?
It's interesting because maybe you do want to have Rozier here long term. I mean, this has always been Danny Ainge's guy. They drafted him knowing that he had potential to get better and better, and we're seeing him fill out that potential now. I always say, and I learned this from Kevin O'Connor, one of the best, if you're going to pay a guy money on a second contract, you're going to anticipate – more growth to come. And when I look at Smart, I look at Rozier, I see more growth in store for Rozier. He's pretty steady. He's reliable. He stays on the court. Smart, you know, that we say every night, he is what he is. And you're going to give him an upgrade on top of that, even if he is a bargain. I know the Celtics are concerned about tax in years to come, but I would pay Terry Rozier for that anticipated growth.
7215-77 is the number to call us here. It's the Celtics post game show. Josue Pavone here. Bobby Manning. Man, we haven't done one of these in a while, it feels like.
It's
my co-host, of course.
Together.
Yeah, I know, right? 347-215-7771. I was gonna grab a caller, but looks like he dropped. Oh no, there he is. He's back. He's one of us. CLNS member. You always catch him on the Garden Report. From time to time. You actually catch him a couple times on the Celtics pregame report on my podcast. Always fun to talk to Nick Gelso. Very passionate analyst when it comes to talking about Celtics basketball.
Welcome
he is
Nick back,
Gelso.
Nick.
Yep, this Nick, man. I don't know if you saw him or not. He's sitting on the line there. He dropped for a second, but now he's back. Hopefully he doesn't drop again. What's up, Nick? What's going on?
There he is. What up? What up, guys? I couldn't hear anything you were saying. I don't know why. So I had to hang up and call back.
Just because
so
I cut you off,
guys,
you wouldn't shut up in my ear. That's why. No, I'm just kidding.
So I don't know what you were talking about.
Well,
some good old Marcus Smart talk. As
yeah, you know, it's that time of the year. You know, the deadline is 2 days away, so that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
Really?
I do.
Wow.
I do.
He's not going to get traded for a wash machine, though, is he? He's going to get traded for something. Legitimate or no?
I don't know what he's worth. I mean, I think better than like the exception. You know what I mean? I don't know. He's worth.
Well,
they
talk out there that they want to flip him for a pick, and then flip that pick for another player, which makes sense on the surface. I mean, then you don't have to pay your own first-round pick. You're still able to draft a player this summer if that Lakers pick doesn't convert, and it doesn't look like it's going to.
No, I don't think it's
right. I just say, you know, I know you're not a big Smart guy, Gelso, but you know the team loves him. You know Stevens loves him. He has that intensity factor. Is anything out there really good enough to warrant giving him up just to add as a rental?
You know, I've become more appreciative of Smart's game this year. I don't know. I think I've been vocal about it on the Garden Report when it's come up. But, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for him because he worked really hard this summer. I mean, he really did come into camp in good shape. And, you know, now he just can't get it together offensively. And then you have the temperament issues, which I found it really interesting when he was talking pregame the other night, Josue, and he said he had like a relapse. Like he used that phrase. Like he had anger management issues in the past. We know he had the altercation with the fan. I just don't know. I think his value just keeps going down. And that Lakers pick probably isn't going to convert. So
well, when it comes to his anger issues or whatever he meant by that comment, because that definitely crossed my mind as well. I always look back at I remember this one night. Who they were playing against. It was last season, and him and Jaylen Brown sort of got into it. And I remember thinking that, hey, you know, that type of thing happens. You know, Nick and I, you know, Nick, you've been to the games. You see that stuff in between the lines, things that don't necessarily you don't see on TV. That type of thing happens. But then this season, though, sometimes I wonder how close is he with his teammates? Maybe, you know, guys aren't so crazy about his attitude. I mean, of course, when the passion and the effort translates on the court to big plays,
that's
no one,
interesting.
Everyone loves
that,
right? But the difference between this year and the last two seasons, I don't know, Nick, maybe you can attest to this as well, but I feel like sometimes in the locker room, he sort of keeps to himself a bit. He may talk to a couple of players
more
here
than
and
in
there.
The past.
I don't. I don't want to go as far as say as like, oh, people don't like him on the team.
No.
I wonder so much. I would love to be a fly on the wall during that meeting. Yeah. Of course,
you know,
all of us would be. That team meeting that took place
in
LA. I wonder how much, if anything about his temper came up in that meeting. I'd love to know if that was
the
topic.
The other thing is, Stevens. I mean, I think we've seen him pissed at other players. I mean, he's good at hiding it, but he was clearly like. He was clearly aggravated.
Agitated.
Yeah. I mean, and he was open that something must be coming from Ainge, you know, because they just landed and went right to the arena, so no one talked to Danny yet. He said, and, you know, I think Doyle asked him or something, and he said, you know, well, no, but I'm sure Danny and Marcus will have a long talk or something like that. I don't know. It's on the site. But
yeah, it was before the game.
Considered, he could be a good. I mean, I could see why other teams would want him. Just I don't know. I think he's ran his course. Maybe I really like him too. I mean, I really do, Bobby. I mean, in the past, I was vicious. He drove me nuts. You know, because he would just, you know, for as much as he'd hustle and be so instinctively great on defense. He was just the polar opposite on offense, and he won't accept it.
Back to what you said before the season, or even in the preseason, Nick, that there's a big difference in this locker room this year between last year's team this year's team.
Yes.
And you think of Smart, I really associate him with those Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley teams. He had great relationships on that team. That's where he came up as a rookie. It was those games where they just went all out every single game. The style, the demeanor of this team is much different. And I do, you know, now that Josue brings that up, I do wonder if he fits in with this group. And so you do see those off-the-court things on the court. There are some lineups that Smart's in where it just looks awkward. It looks like he's an awkward fit on the team. It looks like he's pressing. It looks like he's, you know, trying to make more plays than he usually does. Last year, I looked at him. He made jumps in the assist game. By just playing smoothly offensively, he knew the second unit was his.
Yeah, he's
he made all those plays. And then this year, it's different. The turnovers are up. He's pressing on offensively again. It's just weird.
And he could be a good playmaker if he would just be open to doing anything other than shooting. And yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying there. I do, and I think. But the other thing is, his teammates are still the first to jump to say. You know, he's kind of the backbone of the defense. You've heard Al say that a couple times. You know, speaking of Al, he needs to get more than 5 shots up in a game. I mean, that's just unacceptable.
Oh, come on, Nick. He's a game winner, man. Give him a break.
No, and I'm not necessarily criticizing Al. I'm more criticizing Brad or Kyrie because
you know Brad had a bad
game.
They
got to make a conscious effort. They got to make a conscious effort to get Al involved, or else you know he drips.
There were good adjustments tonight. The Raptors were really trying to keep Horford off the ball. When they got into the half court where with whatever guard was bringing it up, they were pressing Horford hard, making sure he couldn't even touch the ball. And it just did not work well offensively tonight.
Well, we saw Brad try to do the point forward lineup with Horford, and it just didn't work out tonight against this team.
It didn't work tonight, but that got me thinking
about this matchup, though. You know, the Toronto Raptors, they just match up
really
well against them. You know,
I never liked the Raptors. The Celtics always struggle in Toronto. Always, I don't remember the last time they won there. And
Paul Pierce and KG was still on the team.
I think maybe. You know, and the thing
no, it was after that.
it was a long time. It has to be 4 or 5, maybe 6 years.
I'm gonna look it up.
Five. I know they haven't won there because I always think, oh, son of a bitch, you know, they're going to Toronto. But the concerning thing is also the game that they won in Boston, they only won by 1 point. If you remember, it was a really close game. So, and then tonight was just so off balance. Now, the other thing is, and I said this on Twitter, somebody was trolling in and I jumped in on it. Like, you know, sometimes when you're reintegrating star players or key players to a lineup that's already really in a groove without them, you stumble for a game or two. And I expected them to stumble tonight. And, like, I don't care. Kyrie Irving is not going to be as muted as he was tonight. What did he had under 20 points?
Yeah, he had 17, but he had a solid night. I mean, he shot 50%, you know.
But it wasn't a Kyrie night.
It was clear he isn't fully back from that nagging injury or
exactly.
whatever it was that kept him out.
I'd agree with that, yeah. Marcus Morris didn't look good. I'll give you that, though. He looked really bad.
He looked terrible.
Just didn't – just seemed out of sync and didn't look his regular – didn't look like his usual self. I mean, he put up a couple of like wacky attempts, off-balance attempts that isn't like him.
But back to what you were saying about, you know, being concerned about the Raptors. Well, I'm more concerned about them than I am the Cavs, but that's a whole other topic. But the Raptors,
you think next Sunday?
What did you say?
You think Paul Pierce will see Geno on his night next Sunday?
I don't think he'll see Geno, but I think the Celtics will win.
Okay, all right.
I think they're going to lose in Washington because they always struggle there, too.
And they hate us. They hate the Celtics, I mean.
And they just hate us, the Wizards. The fans do. The employees in the arena do. You know, we covered that playoff series.
Yeah,
so,
they lost both of those games.
and it was, like, ugly in that arena. It was just brutal.
Yeah, see, but that's the thing, though. That's a unique series where every game the home team won. All seven games.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I know they struggled in Washington. So I think they're going to lose there, too. And then I think they're going to come back to Boston. And you're going to see a different team at the Garden. If they get killed by the Cavs or they – if it's a close game is one thing. If they get killed, they'll get booed out of the arena on Paul Pierce Day. The other thing I bet, and this is – you just think about this for a minute, and then I'll go back to the Toronto point. I bet – there's an Isaiah Thomas tribute.
No, they're absolutely
no. No, no.
I bet you.
They're
going to
do it.
I bet you Isaiah and Paul have been, because Isaiah's been too quiet.
You're thinking the player intros maybe? Maybe something like that, but I don't think it'll be a timeout.
Yeah, it's going to be like an Avery Bradley type tribute, which I thought was good. They integrated it well. Or if they did a Kelly Olynyk, made him the hero. No, they have to make Paul the hero among us.
Yeah,
they can't.
I don't think they would do that. Even though he does deserve it, though, he did a lot in the community.
Well, I thought that was unique and cool that they gave that to Kelly instead of doing a tribute which Kelly wouldn't deserve, right? But everybody liked Kelly, you know. So, and he's doing really well in Miami. But anyway, Toronto. I think the next time they play in the playoff, whenever they play. The Celtics are not good. Al Horford's going to get more than 5 shots up. Kyrie Irving is going to be in the high 20s. You know it. Rozier is going to be – Marcus Smart will have 3 steals.
You know, it's going to be a different game, a different team. I think this team tonight, like I said, you stumble a couple games when you're bringing key players back into, and especially when you're on a little winning streak without them. What's his name? Did I just say that? Terry Rozier, he looked good again tonight.
He did. Every he time, almost looked like he should have been starting.
Well, don't start that because I knew that I was going to say cue the starting. And I think that you can't. Like, that small ball lineup is great, but I think you have to be flexible with who you're playing against. Right, mm-hmm. Josue, don't you think?
Yeah.
You can't just go
like Toronto Raptors. Yeah, it's not going to necessarily work. But real quick, just back to my point about the home court. I mean, listen, this Toronto Raptors team can, of course, go the distance with the Celtics team. However, if the Celtics still have home court and they have the top seed, I really like their chances against the Toronto Raptors team. I think, you know, once the final stretch comes, you're going to see the Celtics find that stride. What's up?
They only have one game on this Raptors team right now. You know, the Celtics have set a great groundwork for them this year. But it's still very close between these teams. And I'm glad Nick brought that road factor up because the Celtics do only have one win on the road against the Raptors in the Brad Stevens era.
I knew it.
Since Brad took
and they
over.
Struggled in the KG era, too, there.
Because
they had Bosh. Yeah. They always struggled there. But I knew they had not won in quite a long time. And I think
so that means they won one with under Brad. And then the last time they won was when Paul Pierce Garnett. It was close.
Yeah. And I think you're going to find the same thing with Washington. And the thing about it is, too, we can make fun of the East as much as we want compared to the West, and it's true. The talent is totally off balance. But Toscano brought up a really good point. I would not want to be, the 1 or 2 seed if the Cavs are squashed somewhere in the 7th and 8th seed. That would be like the worst first-round matchup you could possibly want. So, there's more to think about here. And that the Cavs are only like 3 or 4 games behind Philly for last place, for that 8th seed. Right now, if they land the 8th seed, the Celtics are playing them in the first round, guys. That's insane.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. The Eastern Conference always does when it comes close to the playoff time with the seeding situation. You know, we've seen in the past the Celtics get bumped up. Bumped down, all depending on those last 10 games, I guess, is usually the case.
Nick, what do you think of the Greg Monroe addition? I know we're not going to see him for a few days, but what was your reaction to that?
I think he's going to be good offensively on the second unit once he gets, in shape or whatever, or adjusted. He's going to be horrible on defense. But he's a good passer. If the only problem I see with it is Brad Stevens' offense just does not post up players. It doesn't.
Yeah.
No matter who you have.
His style is completely against the system, I hear
you. His style is totally against – I like his style. It's a throwback. But his style is totally, totally against the system that Stevens plays. Horford's a great example. He should be posting Horford in the high post and let him draw a double team. He's an amazing passer. He never does it. But
does this affect Marcus Morris' minutes? What do you think?
I just don't want to complain about Brad Stevens ever because he's, amazing, right? I feel bad even saying what I just said, but it's true.
But do you think the sign's going to affect Marcus Morris' minutes?
No, I don't think
Baines,
so.
Probably. Baines, because you can't play Baines you can't play Monroe and Baines on the same – floor. They would get ran off the court.
Right.
They're too slow. So I think it would affect Baines' minutes.
Yeah,
you're
still going to see Morris
quite a bit
just because of how much Stevens loves playing small ball. And I think you are going to see Monroe in quite a few small ball lineups as that center. That'll probably be his primary role on this team, at least for the early going.
I mean, he's not a double-digit rebounder, but he's a
good
rebounder.
He'll pull down some balls for you, though. Yeah,
he's a good rebounder, though, and I think that, Stevens, he likes to play that run-and-gun game. You can't do that if you're not, protecting the defensive glass. That's just it. You're not.
Right.
If you're not rebounding, you don't have fast break.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, think about that, though. It's curious. It's a good segment for us, Josue. you know, the seeding is actually super important. And right now, Cleveland is just this drama. Everybody's not noticing the fact that if they land in the seventh or eighth seed, either Boston or Toronto has to face them in the first effing round.
I don't think they'll drop that low, though. Do you? You think
that? That's where they are now. I mean, where are they now, in the sixth? But if they're all the sixth, seventh, and eighth seed, I think, are all only two games apart. Probably four games apart. But still, it's possible.
It's all about
it's
Isaiah,
possible,
really.
We'll see, man.
I don't
man.
Think
it's
anyone
all about,
else there is going to be able to stand up and make a difference,
about,
at least immediately.
Right now, it's really all about how Isaiah is going to respond to, you know, these, obviously, the last month or so since he came back. And then when Kevin Love comes back, we'll see how they gel heading into the playoffs.
It's going to be a
That's
while
another
from now.
Mess.
Yeah, that is going to be a while for now. So.
It is totally predictable. Total. What is going on is so effing predictable. I'm fighting
you
with everyone on Twitter about it. I
don't
did
tell
call
him
it.
Don't tell him
but
that.
It's true. But it's true, though. But it is true. I always
you,
sound like a hot take, guys.
Okay, all right. You know what? You
want to
go there? Let's just go there real quick. Do you remember the back and forth that we had? And be honest. Don't force it. Don't try to say that I was, like, crying over here about the Isaiah Thomas trade. But the back and forth I had with Nick that night was we were going to ask, like, an hour about how I couldn't understand. Well, I could understand the trade, but I just didn't like the idea of helping the Cleveland.
What were they saying to you? What were they saying?
You don't even remember. Look at you. Nick
no,
over
I,
here
I
was
totally,
like,
totally
they're
going to
be terrible. Isaiah's not going to be the same. You know, the rest of the team is not going to be the same. LeBron will be the only one being effective, and then
no
he's gone.
He is no leader. Yep.
Yeah.
It's just totally – it was so predictable. I mean, the one thing I didn't predict was how much of an impact, a positive impact, Kyrie had on that team, because right now that locker room's broke. Their offense is broke. Their defense is horrible. Not that Kyrie was a big defensive contributor, you know, but the leadership thing
worse.
Is just not there.
Yeah.
I mean, you got LeBron. LeBron is in a press scrum at practice, and you know, he's talking about the off season. It's just like, what the F are you doing, man? You're causing so many distractions on the team that already has enough drama. And then no matter how much we all love Isaiah, he's got a huge ego.
All right, Nick, I'm going to throw this out there. I don't think it's going to happen, but I just want to see your reaction to it. The Celtics clear up space by, I don't know, trading Al Horford or something, and they have talks about LeBron coming to Boston. How would you feel about that?
I don't think I'd want it.
You don't want that? No. LeBron and Green? No? Teaming back up with Kyrie?
I really don't think I mean, what a story that would be, right? But I just don't.
Hey, that's his best option to get back to the finals if you think about it. I mean, that's that team can knock off the Golden State Warriors.
Everybody's so appalled that I'm like, why can't LeBron, no matter how much they hate each other, why can't LeBron and Gilbert just work together like two adults? Trade him to a team that he wants to go to and let Cleveland get something back.
Because it's
instead,
about the brand, man. You don't know that? You know LeBron can't live with the fact
that
Cleveland
I do,
trading
but
him. He's like, no, I'm LeBron James.
Part of the problem is that LeBron sees himself as the biggest man in Cleveland. And we saw that being the problem the first time around. He left because of it. He felt like it was all about him. No one else was helping him. And then in Miami, that changed. He had different forces that could counteract him. And now ever since he's been back, it's been all about him again. And it has been to his detriment for a lot of the time.
1,000% agree with that, especially when we're talking about what they did with the salary cap, what they did with the players.
Oh,
Smith,
man,
Christian
all the money they handed out.
They got paid stupid money because those are LeBron's boys. LeBron was like, I want these guys back. Both of those guys put together one really good season and have fallen off ever since. Yet that contract remains, and those guys are stuck with those two because nobody wants them. Who wants to trade for J.R. Smith? Who wants to pay Tristan Thompson $18 million to grab eight, whatever? Sometimes he has like 13 rebounds a night. Okay,
He kills the Celtics.
Yeah, he kills specifically the Celtics, but – who wants to pay $18 million for a guy like that who doesn't give you much on the offensive end and really has put together that one really good season where they won the championship?
I agree with you. And who won the biggest shot in the franchise in maybe the city's history? Kyrie.
He's in Boston. Yeah.
I mean, it's no longer known as the city where the shot was, you know, Jordan over Elo. That's what they were known for. right, when Jordan hit that shot. Now it's Kyrie, right? It was Kyrie's shot in the finals, and he's gone now. And everybody thought he was crazy, including me. And he wasn't. Like, he saw the writing on the wall here. This team's just such a mess. And you know what?
Oh, and
LeBron couldn't do it without Wade the first time around. He doesn't really perform in the clutch. He doesn't. He shows up in big games. Huge. He shows up huge in big games. But he's not real clutch when it comes to shooting or free throw shooting at the end of in game winning situations.
No, no, he's had some big moments, Nick. But I'm gonna just let you get away with that one. But you know what, man? You're hogging up our, you're clogging our phone lines right now, man. We're gonna have to drop you for the night. But hey, I appreciate you stopping by. This is great. Obviously, it's always good back and forth content when Nick Joseph's on the line.
Yeah, man. I never talk about what we're supposed to talk about, which is the game. So yeah, put me on hold because I'll still listen. Thanks for letting me get y'all off message there. Thanks.
Let's get back to the game, Josue. Yeah, Nick got us talking about like the history of the Cavaliers and the outlook of the
man.
Boston Celtics.
There is nothing, Nick could do a 2-hour show on LeBron. That is his bread and butter. That's where he started.
347-215-7771. There's still time for you if you want to join us. That's 347-215-7771.
Don't forget those phone lines are brought to you by RxBar, rxbar.com/CLNS for 25% off your first package.
That's right. Make sure you sign up. I just got my package a couple days ago, actually, sitting right in front of me, actually. So make sure you do the same. Head over to the website and make sure you do that. Celtics drop one to the Raptors, 111-91, just to remind you listeners out there, since we haven't talked about it in quite some time. Thanks to Nick Joseph. 111-91, the Raptors top the Celtics and are now one game behind the Celtics in the Eastern Conference. And with that, we bring in August from New York, who is going to have to reel us back here from talking just strictly Cavaliers and Eastern Conference talk. What's going on, August?
I will do my best there. That's always an interesting talk, but I'll do my best. But I appreciate you guys getting me on. It's, you know, I turned the game on tonight, and I was interested going into the matchup tonight, of course, like I think a lot of us were, two, you know, really well-performing teams at this point in time, two really respectable coaches, and it just never felt right even from the jump. Kyrie was quoted after the game saying he never felt – or excuse me, Stevens was quoted saying he never seemed to have it in the first 6 minutes. And normally in blowout losses, I'm really disappointed. And granted, don't get me wrong, I'm not happy about this. But I feel okay. I think that they'll rebound. They're bound to happen. And I think more than anything, though, this might take the talk a different way too, but I got to give a lot of respect to the Raptors for how they play. I know that they get a lot of flack for being regular season warriors, so to speak, but they shallow or they go away in the playoffs, and that still may be the case, but I like it because it gives the Celtics something to sit there and say, you know what, we've got to stay on our toes if we want this first seed, because Cleveland, who knows what they're going to do, but we've got someone on our heels who we really, really need to make sure that if we want that first seed that we're going to have to push for, and I think it helps keep them put their foot on the gas, like Kyrie said earlier in the season, and it was a tough game to watch, but I still think that there were some workable points to take out of it, which can be, you know, some coaching moments for Stevens especially.
I do think there were positives in this game. I think they held DeRozan pretty well for most of the game. He's a guy who's killed them in the past. But I still go back to that Raptors bench. The Celtics handled the Raptors starters pretty well in this one. But when that bench unit came in against the Semi Ojeles and Daniel Tices of the world, they were blowing them off the court. That's where they extended the lead to double digits. And that force just kept going into the third, fourth quarters, extending this lead to as much as 30. Van Fleet and Poeltl and Wright, as Josue was airing earlier, were just attacking guys one-on-one in isolation, running a few pick and rolls here and there. C.J. Miles hit 5 threes. When those guys came in, the Celtics, you know, they were trying to stagger their lineups, but the Raptors were able to give all their starters long rests. They were able to play even better than when the starters win, it seemed like. That they really showed what the power of a great bench can be, because Casey was just sitting there on the sideline through that second quarter, just letting that bench ride, because they were letting the Celtics have it.
Agreed, very much so. Yeah, it's they're a fun team to watch, too. And I know early on in the season when they played them at home, you know, against the Celtics, it was a close game there, and the Celtics, you know, slipped away with a win, too. And they're going to consistently push them, and they tend to struggle against them in the regular season. I don't know, you know, the split for the past 3 or 4 years, but they definitely pushed them. And I think there's going to be a time that the Raptors are, you know, I saw a quote online saying that they're not, we are the North, we are the East. You know, they're eventually going to have that mentality, you know, so I'm not going that far. But,
no, are you serious? Oh, that's a slogan? So.
Yeah, well, people, I don't know if it was a Twitter account that I saw from a Raptors fan or not, but people are saying that, you know, they're pushing, not where we are the North, we are the East. I said, I'll slow your roll on that, but.
Well, yeah, you got to give them props for what they did in the draft, especially, you know, the last couple of years.
Phenomenal.
They've really gone out,
I missed that.
They've gone out and grabbed these guys that they know their role. They knew exactly what they were looking in these guys, especially the bigs coming off the bench, effective guys. Who can not only defend but they can score a bit. I mean, of course, they're still in their development stages of showing what they are eventually going to become. But they picked just the right, you know, guys to draft and complement that bench, and it's really come together really nicely. I mean, they obviously don't miss Bismack Biyombo, who gave them, you know, one really good season. They're not as reliant on Valachunas, which I feel like was a big part of their game a couple years ago. So you see a more diverse group of attack, I should say, or a more diverse, well-balanced attack is what I'm trying to say. Not only on the offensive end, but defensively. You know, defensively, I think this team, you know, if you take away those last couple of shots in that final minute where, you know, of course the game was pretty much done, I mean, they were on track, on pace to hold the Celtics to well under 90 points, you know, and that's always a good thing for any team to do in the NBA. If you can hold a team under 90, you know, chances are you put yourself in a really good position to win.
They're probably one of the more balanced teams in the NBA, right up there with the Warriors, because they're third in offense and 10th in defense. And there were many plays throughout this game that showed how great they are in that defensive end. Kyrie Irving had a drive when one of the opening sequences where he was trying to get to that angle where he can hit off glass or feed it to Horford on the cut. And that weak side defense just pulled right into the center of the paint, got right in Horford's way. Irving was stuck right by the basket, and he ended up turning over on that play. And they just kept gunning from there. It was a wildly impressive performance. And we're talking about their rejuvenation. It's amazing what they were able to pull off. You talk about a coach who's been around basketball for a long time, looking in the mirror and saying, all right, we need to change things here. I need to change things with how I do this. You look at an all-star like DeRozan saying he needed to change the way he plays. And even a big man like Shunas, you never see big men willingly step out behind the arc and really embrace that, and he has. And then you hit the nail on the head right there, Joe Sway. Great drafting. Poto's been good on that second unit defensively. And then OG, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, but OG in the starting lineup there has been a game changer for them defensively. He's gritty. He's always giving guys trouble on the ball. I have never seen a team that seemed like they were hitting their ceiling like this, bring everyone back, and just completely take another big step when it seemed like they were hitting that ceiling. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, hey, this is the year to pull it off for them. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen with LeBron James or how they're going to fix things in Cleveland. But like I said off the top, man, I mean, this is a team that they see a unique opportunity to attack. You know, they know obviously the Celtics is going to be a tough team to knock off, but they got two guys in the backcourt that have continued to be effective and continue to be one of the tougher backcourts in the NBA. And it's funny how the schedule works out, right? I mean, the Celtics face the Blazers, you know, McCollum and Lillard. They face Lowry and DeRozan. And then now, you know, coming up in a couple of days, they're going to go ahead to Washington and face John Wall and Bradley Beal. So another elite backcourt for the Celtics to try to knock off. Waiting for them in D.C. Hey, I appreciate the call, August. Always
call
back, man. Thanks for calling in,
hey,
man. Good stuff.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate everything you do. It's always appreciated.
All right. Yeah, that's a good way to end the show, huh? The last caller. That was pretty good. But before we get out of here, Bobby, any final thoughts? What are you thinking heading into Washington, which is another tough game for the Celtics, of course?
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping the Celtics can continue to ride these big lineups. I've talked about this a couple times this year, but they are better when Baines is on the floor. They really have a nice base defensively. They were disrupting what the Raptors were doing early in this game. It's crazy to think about, but the first quarter was very close. I thought the Celtics held their own. Brown had a very nice block on Lowry, even as he was going crazy. It's tough to not get too low when you have some of these bad losses, but I'm not getting too low off of this one. I think the Celtics are stringing together some very good things right now. Terry Rozier's confidence is through the roof. He was hitting shots again tonight. Kyrie Irving's going to get back slowly but surely. It seems like that layoff hurt him a little bit. But I just hope they can keep this action going with these bigs. I love the lineups with Baines. I love the lineups with Tice. And then soon you'll be able to throw Monroe into that fold too. I've said it all year. I love small ball, but I don't think the Celtics have the personnel to do it this year. Semi Ojeleye just doesn't have it this season. And Marcus Morris, you know, he's great offensively, but I think he's been oversold defensively. He got exposed a little bit again tonight. I know he's banged up, but they got to really just spring small ball in little spurts and not really lie on that as they have in the past. It's a tough week ahead. Like you said, the Wizards have given them trouble. They got destroyed by them on Christmas night, but the Celtics just keep going fairly consistently, hold on to that one seed, and then get into the All-Star break. Thursday's going to be interesting. I do think they need bench help, but not at a great cost. If they bring back this team like I think they're going to, I won't be too upset about that.
Yeah, man, you got Terry Rozier doing his thing. He just continues to ride the wave. Even when Kyrie Irving back tonight, he had himself a good game, the type of game that you want to see off the bench, you know, especially when you don't have Marcus Smart in the mix. I mean, 18 points, 5 rebounds. Man, I just love the fact that Terry Rozier is just always like one of the top rebounders every night. I mean, he was the third best tonight, but whenever he grabs one, it's like it counts for two because, you know, it's Terry Rozier. He's so athletic.
It's like Horford throwing around all these assists every night. The center possession. This team's different.
Yeah, it is. It is. But you know what? Nick brought up a good point. I think this is something that we're going to see against the Wizards in terms of seeing Al Horford sort of be more effective and be more aggressive offensively. He really shot away tonight, 1-5. But in this type of game, I mean, we've seen in the past, you know, last season and this year as well, when the Celtics are really just getting their asses handed to them, especially when it's like they can't seem to find that momentum to really make a run, it's rare that you see Horford sort of get in the mix there. Even in games where the Celtics were really being blown out, which, we saw that tonight as well, we would see stretches where they could put together a quick 7-0 run here or there, and you would see Al Horford be a part of that, whether he was setting somebody up or, you know, getting the ball down the block and doing that fadeaway, you know, off that 1 foot fadeaway in the paint that I love.
Did you see
do.
Any sets run through him tonight? I know you said that earlier in the show. I didn't see any.
I saw one, I want to say what, in the second half and the third quarter, and then I saw a couple of possessions where they tried to do the point forward thing, and Toronto, they were right on him on that, and they saw that one coming. They did the homework.
They handled him very well tonight.
Yeah, they did. I mean, Casey saw exactly what Brad Stevens was thinking of doing, you know, what he saw him do not too long ago, making him that point, the point forward. We saw Kyrie Irving give him the ball, and it was just like it triggered the defense from Toronto to just collapse on him, and they did a really good job of keeping him out of sync.
Yeah, what they might end up doing is consolidating the very bottom of this bench, maybe sending out Nader, Yabusele, and you know, maybe even Kadeem Allen in one of these trades. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I do think they could use the bench help of a guy like Lou Williams. I'm not high on Tyreke Evans. I think he always needs the ball in his hands, and he's benefiting from that out in Memphis. And he's had bad times when he's been playing off the ball with New Orleans and Sacramento. So I'm a little hesitant on him. I know Lou Williams can ball. I just think he'll be a little bit expensive.
Yeah, definitely. The cost will be high. And people keep bringing up his name, but no one seems to bring up the fact that this is a guy who's playing for Doc Rivers. I mean, it's just a bad look for Doc Rivers to give him up for, you know, something that's not legitimate or not a type of deal where he looks like the winner out of it. And I just don't see a scenario where the Celtics could trade for, you know, a guy like Lou Williams and lose the trade. I just don't see
that.
We
got no former Doc Rivers players left to hand him. We know he loves those. He just brought Avery Bradley back in, but we've already sent everybody out of here from that era. Maybe if we get Sullinger, we can send them to him.
Maybe you can get him off the waiver wire. Or no, he's in China now, right? I guess.
Yeah, we'll have to bring him back and put him in the trade.
He loves his former players. He gets too attached, I guess. But, hey, we'll see him in the Clippers, of course, next week at the Garden, the next game after the Paul Pierce ceremony. And the next time we'll talk to you guys on the Celtics Post Game Show will be after the trade deadline. So we may have a lot to talk about in terms of the Celtics do make a deal. If not, I get the feeling there's going to be a bit of a splash in the NBA. and there'll be plenty to talk about, of course, along with the game, the Celtics versus the Wizards. I'm expecting a really good one after seeing what the Celtics did tonight. Let's see if they can bounce back. And, of course, the Washington Wizards are always ready to catch a W against the Celtics. With that, that's going to do it for us for the Celtics postgame show. He is Bobby Manning. I am Josue Pavone, CLNS Media. We'll talk to you guys next time, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSradio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.